Tonight I want to begin a series, probably 2 or 3 weeks, might go further, depending on how this thing develops. It's a series I believe that's vital to your supernatural breakthrough. Amen. Most of us are familiar with the scriptures that talk about the hand of God, especially in the New Testament when it speaks of Jesus being sitting at the right hand of the Father. But most of us are not familiar with what exactly the hand of God will do. And so we're going to be talking about the hand of the Lord. Put your hand up. The hand of the Lord. And you're going to find out in this study, you can put it down, how vital it is for God to get involved in your supernatural breakthrough with His hands. Of course, we know this is a season of breakthrough. If you hadn't got that on your mind and you're thinking that, you're not going to get it. But we're almost halfway through this year of supernatural breakthrough. Amen. Remember, breakthrough is to go through or burst through. Mm-hmm. To go through or burst through. How many of you need to go through and burst through some things still this year? Amen. See, I might have broken through some things, but I still got some more. The Lord's still working on me. I got some rough edges. So I always remember, too, when we talk about supernatural, we're talking about a God part and a natural part. Yes. Now, I want to emphasize this because so many people think when you say supernatural, you're talking about God doing something weird, something way out, some wonder, something far out. But actually, it's supernatural. Super pertaining to God, natural pertaining to you. So both of us, God and us, are working this thing out. It's not just one-sided. It's always, Mark says, when Jesus was carried up in Mark chapter 16, he said, and after he had spoken to them, he received up in heaven, sat at the right hand of the Father, making intercession. And they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming His word with signs following. I preached a sermon one time that God is actually working with us. He's actually waiting for us to go to work so He can work with us. So it's not just one-sided now. You need to understand, your breakthrough is not just God rubbing God up like a genie. It's not all that. It's you working out things with God. Amen. Now, Pastor Jeff, I didn't know what he preached on, but we were sitting out there this morning and had time to listen to all the CDs while I was gone. You know, it's a good thing to go away, but boy, when you come back, you pay for going away. Amen? So, I've been kind of busy, and I didn't know what was spoken around here, but we were sitting at the table this morning, and I asked Brother Jeff what he preached on, and he's talking about he preached on breakers. How the Lord's a breaker. He goes before you. Not knowing this whole teaching of the hand of the Lord is actually talking about God going before you. Amen. You know, we got to understand this. God never lingers in behind. Don't ever think God's behind. He's never behind. He's always ahead. Turn and tell somebody, God's always ahead of you. Don't worry about God. He's waiting on you, man. God don't linger around in the background. God's always out there, moving ahead of you. Like Israel. In Israel, was in the wilderness. He had a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Israel never moved until God moved first. Is that it? The Holy of Holies was in the center of where the camp was. When they walked out of their tent, they saw the glory of God. God was always before their eyes. Always moving before them. So God is never behind us. He's always before us. I want you to get a hand of that because sometimes we pray like God's nowhere. Where is God? He can't be found. So you're going to have to understand, I got to build a foundation so you understand the actually, the hand of God is talking about God going before you, doing some things that only He can do. Amen. But here's the thing. Even though God goes before us, God's not going to get involved in your breakthrough until you do an act of faith. There he goes. He's a faith man. It's all by faith. We're blessed if we find two scriptures in the Bible that talk about the same thing. Four scriptures in the Bible talk about the just, that's us, shall live. It didn't say have, get. It says live by faith. So God, even though God's before us, he's not going to get involved in your life until you enter into the zone of faith. An act of faith gets God involved in your life. See, he didn't, you know, us charismatic think when we get up in the morning, God shows up to do something mighty. Just because we woke up. Now, we talk about how the devil trembles, should tremble when we wake up. Absolutely. But God doesn't just get up because you get up. God never sleeps nor slumbers. But one thing about God, you got to understand, God's waiting for you to get involved with him first. God's waiting for you to make a step towards him. He just didn't, just because we're on the planet and we call ourselves faith people and we're getting out of bed, even though God's around us, upon us, on us, all over us, out before us, he doesn't get involved until you first get involved with him. Kind of like Moses when he saw the burning bush. And he went to see what it was. God spoke to him. But he had to go see the burning bush. Same way with us. We have to get involved with God in some kind of act of faith. When you get up in the morning. So God is not only before you, but he is with you then. So I don't know about life. I don't know. I want my friends to walk with me. I don't like them up there and I have to holler up there. What y'all doing up there? If I'm having a party, I want them with me. Around me. So we can talk. Amen? So when we talk about God going before us, as Brother Jeff, I don't know what he preached. He probably went through this. I don't know. I'm just telling you, he's never behind you. That's right. The federal issue is always before you. But he's not going to get involved in your life till you understand how to be involved with God. And this is what he's teaching about. You're going to find out the hand of God is before you. But it won't be operative in your life until you get involved in what it's all about. I guess I'm preaching the wrong congregation, but how many of you know that Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible, without faith it's impossible to please God. Amen. So God's not going to, listen, might as well settle this. You can call us faith people. You know, Baptists got their own doctrines, we say, and Methodists have their own doctrine, and Pentecostal have their own doctrines, bunch of junk, all that doctrines, and I know there's different. There is doctrine in the Bible, but it's not doctrines that we have here. It's all by faith. Even the Baptists have to be faith people. Methodists have to be faith people. But see, God's not going to get involved in anything. Mark, you know, he's just not going to get involved in anything in your life unless it becomes an act of faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. So do you think God's going to get involved in anything that doesn't please him? So we need to understand that we have to do an act of faith for God to get involved. It's like our breakthroughs. Many of you haven't experienced what we call any sufficient breakthrough. Even though you're alive, you got air to breathe. You're not in a wheelchair. You're not at the morgue. See, it's good to breathe. Actually, it's a good breakthrough if you don't got nothing real wrong with you. But I know we're talking about coming through some cycles. Some of you still haven't entered into what we call you could really testify of a breakthrough. And I can tell you tonight, it's probably because you've not done very much acts of faith. Now, I don't call in no names. I'm not judging anybody. But see, just praising breakthrough, singing about breakthrough, declaring breakthrough, and praying for breakthrough, and just a hoping and a praying of breakthrough will not bring breakthrough to your life. Because God's not moved by needs. And listen, givers, He's not really moved by seeds. I don't care what they tell you. If you bring your money down here, God will give you this, God will give you that. Come on, come on, give me one, give me two, give me three, give me four, give me five, give me six, man. That's about what it sounds like. I've been to those meetings, man. Promise you the world.
Yes, sir.
Just because you give, well, ungodly give.
That's right.
They give.
Yes, sir.
You can call it seeding, but it's got to be an act of faith. Grounded upon something God has given you revelation of. And you act upon it. Let me tell you what faith really is. Simple. Faith is thinking like God and talking like God. That's faith.
Yes, sir.
Period. Get it down to its simplest form. It's when you think like God and when you talk like God. Not when you act like God. That's a real eye-opener because they taught us if you acted right, you had it. How many know you can only live a little long, a little while acting right? If you don't have substance, you're not going to live very long. Now, I got to break all this down because you're going to see where I'm heading. Because the hand of the Lord won't mean a thing to you till you know a revelation of it. How to get involved with the hand of the Lord. Just like how to get involved in your supernatural breakthrough. God's going to do His part. You're going to have to do some of your part.
Yes.
Some of you might want to break through in your marriage. Well, you might have to do, you know, you confess over your marriage. You talk to God about your marriage. But you might have to go get some flowers.
Right. Okay.
You may have to cook a good dinner with candlelight. You know, God. Somebody says, God makes my marriage in heaven. Yeah, lightning and thundering comes from heaven too. See, faith people, we talk about it all the time. Me and Brother Jeff, we get to going on that thing. People, I don't know what they grab a hold of to live. They think parking themselves in the church and listening to all this stuff we talk about. I'm not getting on you. I'm rested, so I got more strength than I normally have. I just want to tell you. Somebody needs to tell the truth, dadgummit. Somebody needs to tell somebody that this thing ain't working like we've been working it. So we need to find out what the problem is. It ain't God. It ain't the message. We're not involved in it quite right. You know, coming to church and doing all the things that we do is fine for that. But you've got to be a person that's involved with God. God said, draw near unto me and I draw near unto you. So we need to understand that. Faith is an action, always. It's not... We... Let me just talk to you. We don't understand mercy and favor. So we think faith sometimes and we get them messed up. You don't have to do anything for mercy.
Hallelujah.
And most of us are blessed simply by mercy, not faith. God just loves the hound out of us.
Yes, sir.
Anybody ever got blessed when you wasn't doing right?
Yes, sir.
Where did this come from? It came from the mercy of God. Sure didn't come from my faith.
Right.
Then favor. You get around somebody. Somebody pours out some of their blessings upon you. Simply favor, not faith. Faith is an action word. You have to get involved with God to walk by faith.
Amen.
And that's what we have to understand to really understand supernatural breakthrough. Not praising God, crying to God, singing to God, shouting to God. It's when you really get involved in the way God thinks. And then you begin to talk like God. And guess what? Your body, your soul follows what you think and say. You got it? And guess how you get the mind of God? Only one way. Through the Word of God. I could say tonight, most people never open their Bible to church. They think they can get it a little bit here on the TV, a little bit there on the radio, a little bit there by the prayer partner, a little bit here. And so we got all these little bits and they never fit together. So we got knowledge without any type of revelation. So we need to redefine how this thing works and understand we need to listen to the CD more than once. Twice. Three times, my lady. You got to listen to it a whole lot. I don't know where that came from. Y'all got to stop all that around here. I don't know rock and roll. I grew up, my daddy wouldn't let me listen to nothing. Sonny and Cher was my top ones. That's me and Penny favorite. That's the only 8-track I had, Sonny and Cher. No, Engelbert Humperdinck. That's it. My cousin had Rolling Stones and Mick Jagger or whatever his name is. And maybe Elvis Presley once in a while, but hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our involvement with God. As He's before us, we get involved with Him with acts of faith. Amen? Yes. Isaiah 66. Verse 14. God's talking about some things He's going to do for the nation of Israel. And always remember, when you see God doing something for Israel, Israel was God's servants. We are God's children. And if He did it for Israel, Lord of mercy, what's He going to do for us? If He did it for the servants, what will He do for His children? So don't get blown away. Somebody said the other day, I read an article about how we get excited about God speaking to Abraham. And we think about, Lord, wouldn't it be wonderful if God appeared to me? But you know, He only talked to Abraham when He wanted to. We can talk to Him anytime. And He talks to us every day through His Word. So actually, Abraham would like to be living tonight. Right here at Abundant Life. Right here. So whatever you find God doing for Israel, you can know that God's going to do that and much more for us. Because we have a better covenant built upon better promises. Look at verse 14. And when you see this, He's talking about when you see the things I'm doing, the good things, your heart shall rejoice, your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known towards His servants, and indignation towards His enemies. The Living Bible says, all the world will see the good hand of God upon His people, and His wrath upon His enemies. I want you to notice a couple of things right off the bat. When you see, God said, when you see the good things I'm about to do, look for two things. It's my hand, and my hand upon my servants I'll bring blessings, and upon my enemies I will bring indignation. When you see the hand of the Lord in the Scripture, you think about two things, blessings and cursings. Blessings and cursings. They both come from the hand of the Lord. To His servants, who's a servant of God?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Thank you for those two, three. To his servants he brings good things, and to his enemies he brings indignation. Look at verse 12 of Isaiah chapter 66. This is reference to his servants. I will extend peace to her like a river, and to the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. That's what he's going to do for his servants. And verse 14 said, he says he will extend his wrath upon his enemies. So when you see the hand of the Lord mentioned in the Bible, two things you're going to think about. One, you're going to look for the good to his servants. The power of blessings. He'll manifest blessings and good things to his servants. But to his enemies, his adversaries, his hand, same hand. At the same time, he's talking about the same time. When Israel before Egypt, we get to that. There was darkness in Egypt. The adversary had darkness. But in Goshen, that's where the children of Israel was, there was light. Same hand stretched forth. Moses stretched forth his hand. That's the hand of God. In that hand went blessing to his servants. And in that hand went wrath to his adversary. It's going to become very important to you in these last seasons of time. That you'll see the hand of God more involved in the world conditions. Now, I'm not one to say here that God is wiping out certain nations because of certain ways. I mean, I'm not a judge. I'm not here to judge what God does. But you're going to see blessings coming to some people and cursings or bad things coming to other people in these last days. Like the shakings over here. See, it all goes together. Shakings over here, where we at, his glory is going to fill the house. That's what he said.
Hallelujah.
And as Brother Jeff said, he's a breaker. He'll go before you to break down the things in front of you.
Yeah.
So when we talk about the hand of the Lord, we're talking about blessings and judgment. Blessings upon his servants. Judgment upon his adversary. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Now we're going to get in some more. I mean that's simple there. So that's all you're going to learn? No, you're going to learn how the hand of God brings restitution to your life. And that's when the breakthrough period comes. How am I going to have a breakthrough? Well, you're going to see the hand of the Lord. Exodus chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. This is God talking to Moses. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I do in the midst thereof. And after that, he, Pharaoh, will let you go. Now, Pharaoh was an enemy to the children of Israel. He had held them in captivity. Israel and all, I mean, Egypt had held the children of Israel in captivity over 400 years. And God is saying, now I want you to stretch out your hand. I'm stretching out my hand against that adversary, Pharaoh. And I will bring judgment upon the Egyptians. Now look at verse 25. Same hand. And I will give this people, talking about Israel, favor in the sight of the Egyptians.
Yes.
And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty handed.
Yes.
Good Lord, if you want to argue with prosperity, then what are you going to do about that scripture? What are you going to do with that? Two things, God said, when I stretch forth my hand, I'm going to judge the Egyptians, Pharaoh and my adversary. And he did. All the plagues came upon them. But when I stretch out my hand, I'm also going to give favor to my children. And when they go, they will not go empty handed.
Hallelujah.
Now, I'm not preaching on this. If you're empty handed, you might still have a foot in Egypt. You better write that down there, right? You empty hand. You must have some Egypt thinking.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I know a lot of good-hearted people that still messed up in their mind. They're wicked, twisted. That don't mean they're going to hell. That doesn't mean they're lost and God doesn't love them. They're yet to understand and receive revelation. You're not going to receive enough revelation sitting in church to change a lot of things in your life. The book, when you turn the TV off and the light on, let me tell you how you know if you nearly get... When you wear out a CD player where it won't play anymore, you're getting right on the verge of revelation. Right on the verge of it. When you wear out a CD and have to get another one, you're on the way. But when you wear off the machine that the CD plays in, you're right on the verge of revelation. It ain't coming any other way. Revelation is not something you feel that somebody can put on you, that the church has that just gives out every week, every Sunday, every Wednesday. And you got to sit in front of the book. Ain't no other way. You got to sit in front of the book. And so if you're not sitting in front of the book, you still have your thinking in the past. Yes. Yeah. What's held you in captivity? Yes. Brother Hagin called it thinking. Something like that. Had a book written. Somebody did. You know? Well, I'll move on. But the reason I say that, as long as Israel was in Egypt, listen, study it. As long as Israel was in the camp of Egypt, they never had enough. It was a land of not enough. They never had enough cement to make bricks. They never had enough bread to satisfy Pharaoh. They never did enough. They were under bondage 400 years trying to go over there in the Holy Land and see what they built for those kings. Never built a big enough building. Statues were so big. Why in the world are we going to build such a big statue? Because it was the land of not enough. You could never satisfy a king unless it was a godly, righteous king. He had to have a bigger palace. Pharaoh had to have all the things that he couldn't get from God. He tried to make them in the flesh. That's why I say if you are not having enough, let's just don't say overflow, not enough, it's because there's something still in you that has a little of Egypt in it. Yes. And the only way to get it out is get the book. It's the light. Yeah. Anytime lightness shines in darkness, things reveal. Yeah. See, just like this, I've been preaching 30 years. I wish I didn't have to study. My wife would tell you, I get on the couch, she gets on to me. I sit there for 4, 5, 6 hours. She'll tell you. And boy, she said, that's what's wrong with your back. You need to get off the couch. Told me tonight that my neck's hurting. She said, you've been on the couch. But if I don't get the book out, I ain't going to have nothing to say. Come on. Come on. These things don't drop from heaven. We have to study. How many of you preachers know? It's a horrible thing when you ain't got no topic, nowhere to go, and you got to preach. That's horrible. Yes, it is. That's when you want to say, let's have a Holy Ghost meeting. My daddy would do that. He said, we could tell we'd go in. He didn't want to preach that night. He's tired. He'd have a Holy Ghost meeting. I can't do that. He'd swing his hand around like that a little bit, and bam, it was on. Am I telling the truth? You can do all, me and Jeff jump around all the time and it ain't on here, but he could do this to hocus pocus or something and he'd go wild. You better have something to say in this place. I'm telling you, you better have something to say up in there. It's embarrassing. Ain't it? It's embarrassing. Now, I'm not saying these things to shame anybody. To make you feel less than what you are. That's what the devil does. I'm trying to build you up or give you a way out. It's amazing. We go to the doctor and we get mad if he don't tell us something wrong with us. Pay him good money. You're going to say, ain't nothing wrong with me. I paid you $40. But we come to church and we get up mad when something's revealed that's not right in our spiritual life. And he didn't have to pay for it. This is a free clinic tonight. They came out not empty-handed. And here's the sad thing. Even though Israel had a covenant, Abraham's covenant, all those years they spent in bondage, they had Abraham's covenant. Just like so many of us, all the word going forth, all the wonderful Bible study resources you have today, and Holy Ghost-filled churches and good preachers. We have wonderful preachers and teachers here. We had somebody visit Sunday. We was gone. Thank you, priest. A couple have been here before when we was in the over there in the storefront. And they came and Penny went to the dentist. They worked there. And she said, we was at your church the Sunday you were gone. Said, you need to be proud of your church. Did you say that? Proud of your congregation. Proud of your preachers. She hurt our feelings because she said, you know, nobody know y'all gone. But that was such a good compliment.
Amen.
The congregation entered in. See, you never know who's in the... It's not... Don't build... I know we don't hear y'all talk. We should never build our services upon one person. People need a touch of God. Get in here. We need to act like we got something. I don't care who's in the pulpit or who ain't here or not. We need a minister. Amen. And I thank God for all that. For you do. But even though they had the covenant, nothing happened till they cried out to God. And God stretched out his hand and smit the Egyptian with all the wonders which I do in the midst thereof. And after that, He will let them go. And he gave favor to the people inside of the Egyptian. Yeah. It came to pass that when they went, they did not go empty handed. How did they go? Look at Psalm 105. Psalm 105. The hand of the Lord. See, it ain't going to work for you until you get a revelation of it now. Take a little bit. We got to dig it out, get it inside. Know what it's for. How to use it. You're going to find out God told Israel, never forget about it either. Talk to the children about the hand of the Lord. So if he don't want them to forget it, I'm sure he wants us to know about it. If he didn't want them to forget it, I'm sure he wants us to know about it. Right? This is what the outstretched hand of the Lord will do. Let's start with verse 28. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark. It's talking about the hand of the Lord. This is Psalm 105, verse 27. I'm sorry, I said 28. It ain't 105. We'll find it, somebody. Tell me where it's at. I mean, it's 105. Verse 26, verse 27, verse 28. He sent his darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came divers sort of flies and lice and all their... I can't stand flies. Verse 32, he gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines, also their fig trees and tomato plants. And he brake the trees of their coasts. I know that'd be more to you than fig trees. Tomato vines. Ooh, I had some good tomatoes for supper. Ooh. He spake and the locusts came and caterpillars, and that without number, and did eat up all the herbs in their land and devoured the food of their ground. He smote also the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. But look at verse 37. This is what he did for his servants. He brought them forth. Remember, there's us and them, but we're them in this story. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there were not one feeble person among their tribes. Bible said, by his hand he showed signs among the Egyptians and wonders in heaven. And at the same time, say same time, he brought forth Israel with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. And here's the thing, when you talk about the hand of God, not only when Israel went out with silver and gold, they didn't go out with just what was wages, what belonged to them, but they went out with all the generational blessings. The Bible said they spoiled the Egyptians. You know what it means to spoil? In the Bible, it means to take everything from them. We ought to get the devil so mad at us, he'd pay us to leave his camp. And then he ought to be so afraid, because I'm tell you, he got to pay restitution in a minute. He ought to be so afraid of us that he'll leave us alone, or he'd have to pay back sevenfold. He ought to be scared, shaking in his boots. They got wages that belong to them, and all the generations of they've been in bondage for 400 years. You could say they got their wages plus interest through the hand of the Lord. Yes. Now I'm telling you all this because I want you to get your faith involved. Remember faith involved? Yes. Faith involved not just to get just minute things, but get everything that's owed to you. See, I have a generation, my daddy didn't get his blessing. It belongs to me. It's in my generation. It's in my blood. So I get what he left. Well, you'll see. See, in Psalm 105, you see not only them getting the blessings for his servants in the hand of the Lord, but they're getting restitution. What the enemy has stolen from them 400 years, they got going and leaving Israel. See, this is exactly, remember, they were servants. So if he wanted his servants to get paid back, what do you think he wants for us to get? He wants us to get paid back. We'll see that in a minute. God wants us to have, we got a better covenant, so he wants us to have better things, better promises built upon. Pharaoh was the type of the adversary, the devil. Pharaoh was the type of the devil in Egypt time. And God required Pharaoh to let him go and not let him go empty-handed. Keep that in your mind now. You don't need to be empty-handed. When you get to Revelation, you won't be empty-handed anymore. It's not just enough to be called a child of God. We should be looking like a child of God. It's not enough to talk about a king. We're the king's kid. And if we're in the palace with the king, we got all the king owns. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. You're going to hear me sound like a prosperity preacher, but I'm just trying to tell you the truth. It ain't right for God to live in heaven on streets of gold and us not to have a little bit of it. We're his kids. We're his kids. My father, listen, that's not somewhere that I'm not going to. That's just where he resides. I'm going there someday.
Yes, hallelujah.
That's my destination. So my father lives on streets of gold. I can own a little bit of it right now. Be all right, don't you think?
Amen.
Learn how to polish it. Keep it right. God stretched forth his hands upon the adversary Pharaoh, and he smote him, And Pharaoh and the Egyptians had to pay back everything the children of Israel lost in those 400 years plus interest. Do you know what that means? Got to get a revelation. It means whatever Satan stole from you, not what you give him now, but whatever he stole from you in your generation. If you'll work this thing and get in faith with it and believe God and think like it and say like it, and we're going to show you how to do that. God will do the same for you. He'll restore and give you back everything you lost plus interest.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And some of you have been robbed.
Amen.
You didn't know no better. You grew up in the home and didn't know what God was all about.
Right.
They never taught you much about life, and they never, it's hard times for you. But I'm telling you what, God restore all that back when you get in the Bible and learn what God is about. He'll bring all that stuff to you plus interest, and you'll have more than you ever thought or dreamed about.
Hallelujah.
See, I walked away from property. Me and Jeff visited our property. I was asked to leave it. We went and had a funeral not long ago. We went to our old church. I'm telling you what. My daddy, I know he can see from heaven. He just shake his head. Son, he thought he had a piece of property. He thought he had building. In its day, it was real nice, but nothing ever would touch what God has given us here. He's replaced every bit of that, Brother Jeff. If I could take you down there, I wish I could take busload down there, show you what it looked like and how God now has given. And my daddy had to make payments on that thing the whole time. And God gives us this beautiful place to us. He gives back what I lost in Egypt.
Amen.
What we lost in Egypt. Matter of fact, this is the first place in 30 years I ever did. Me and Penny didn't have to share the same office.
That's right. That's right.
So, you know, sometimes I have to just be calm where God brought us from.
That's right.
Yeah. To now, I know what I'm talking about. The hand of the Lord brought us here. We don't never talk about it much, but Brother Jeff knows the whole story. He was on how we wound up here. I wasn't supposed to be here. Penny wasn't supposed to be here. Brother Jeff was supposed to come here, but hallelujah. God spoke, said, you stay there and let him go here. Hey. It's a setup. Say it's a setup. But now he's here, so we're all right. Unless you want to go back down there, brother. No, huh? So that means whatever Satan has stole from you, you don't have to set back and take it. You don't have to write it off as a bad experience. You can expect the hand of the Lord to stretch forth in your life on your behalf. You have a right to ask God to stretch forth His hand and restore to you what the enemy has taken from your life. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Boy, you ain't seen nothing yet. When you know something, you know something. My son-in-law could take me out of the golf range tonight or tomorrow, and he'd know in about 5 seconds. I don't know nothing about hitting a golf ball. That ain't what I'm about. But any of you think you good, go with him, and he'll still show you how to hit a golf ball. Because that's what he knows. He eats and sleeps it. He's been doing that for years. He got a vision, a dream, and a purpose.
Yes.
And if I wanted to know something about a golf ball, I'd ask him.
Yes. Yeah.
Most people don't know why they make golf balls and them little old different shapes around them. There's a lot of reason for that thing to fly through the air. He knows all about it. But I know about this because I've experienced the hand of the Lord.
Amen.
Yes. Can't play golf, but I can tell you about the blessing.
Hallelujah.
And the revelation of it. We didn't get here. Me and my wife did not get here on our own. We cannot take, no way we could make this happen within our flesh. No way we can make this thing turn out like it did by any other means except the hand of the Lord. Because we caught the devil. Listen here. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. It says men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, if you catch him,
yes, sir,
he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house.
Yes.
So if you catch a thief, you can require him to pay you back sevenfold. Think about it. If you really get a revelation, if you get a revelation of the hand of the Lord by faith, and get your mind renewed from that Egypt thinking. And you catch that devil. Think about it. He had to restore to you sevenfold. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Now some of you should just be laying on the floor slobbering because he stole from you pretty good bit of your life. Stole your marriage. Stole your house. Your cars, some of your life, a period of time you were locked up, stole your life.
Amen. Come on.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm talking to everybody. Everybody's been stolen from here. Something. Stole some of your health, some of your joy, some of your peace, some of your teeth. Some of your joy. Man, we ought to be slobbering and think we can get back sevenfold, whatever we lost. Some of you be rich as cream. Some of you have more joy than you ever thought. Some of you have you more than you ever imagined.
Hallelujah.
Get a revelation of it. You have that marriage made in heaven.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's
see. 21. The devil stole at least 10 years of my married life. 10 years he stole from Penny. Me. But look how much she got back in these last 30. Oh, Lord, we'd be married 40 years coming. Wow. But 10 years, it was all about me. Till I got saved. Some of you men need to get saved.
Yeah.
I got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, it become about us.
Right.
And so he's paid back. You think I'm seven times better or sevenfold better? What would you rather have? Him or me? Me. Thank you, dear. I got that one right. God told Israel, when you come out empty of Egypt, you will not come out empty-handed. Now he says, if you catch a thief, how many know the devil's a thief? John 10:10, the thief cometh. See, a lot of people don't have that revelation. They still think, you know, God takes from them to make them better. God's going to humble you one way or the other so you'll have a burning testimony for the Lord. Just like I did, they're going to burn you so you'll walk around on fire. That's what my daddy said, bless his heart. After I got burned, he said, now you got a burning testimony. He was right. You got me. That went by your head. I got to get back on where I'm at. Not only did he bring them out, the hand of the Lord, but he brought them out and gave them restoration and restitution. See, I'm convinced. And I don't have all the revelations. I'm working on it myself. I'm growing in God. A lot of my sermons, I know I write down a lot, but a lot of it is not on paper. It's revelation God is growing me up and growing me out in. But I just know something deep down inside me lets me know that the devil should not be any problem to a child of God. Not I mean, we've made him what he is, like a Phantom of the Opera. We've made humpback, whatever. We've made him that. Because all through the Word of God, the blood of Jesus, and what Jesus spoiled him openly, triumphant openly, in the heavens before all the demons of hell, he stripped him, made a show of him, spoiled him, took all his power. All power is for the Lord, but then where the devil gets his power? It's because what we in our mind have allowed him to become. And I'm convinced if we could put him in his place, we'd be like what they said in the book of Revelation when we see him. Talks about the Christians. When he's in the pit and we can see him, we're going to say, is that him? Was. Think about it. He's the one that caused me all the trouble? No, I'm going to tell you who's the one that causes all you the trouble. You. Right between these two ears. It's where the depth. Oh, I shouldn't say that. God, what am I bleeding? I'll tell you what, where the devil resides. I'll just go ahead and tell you. In between your ears. You give power to, just like anything else, to your thinking. As a man thinketh, so is he. You make the devil big, he'll be the biggest devil you've ever seen. But if you can catch him, see, I'm already looking, I'm catching him. I'm getting sevenfold return. Restitution for all those things and all those things he stole from me. He brought them out. Now, I'm going to close right here and start next week. What time is it? Oh, that's early. All right, here I go. I'll go to 8:30. So what I suggest for you is you should start praying, lining your prayer up with what you know now. You come in agreement with God. You come in agreement with God and say, God, I thank you that you'll stretch forth your hand against my adversary, the devil, or against my sickness and disease. And you'll pay back to me all that my adversary has stolen from my life in Jesus' name. Begin to see the hand of God working. That's how you break. Your breakthrough is, like I said, is you and God working together, coming in agreement with God, seeing the hand of God operating. And you've got to, I keep telling you, don't wait for the big bang. When you see the door crack, thank God, hallelujah, I see some breakthrough. I see my husband softening. I see my wife softening. I could pay my light bill this month. I mean, they didn't cut my lights off this month or whatever. The cable's still on. I got some jobs coming in or whatever's necessary. It might be a little job, but hallelujah, breakthrough. A few barbecues produces more barbecue.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Breakthrough. You get God involved. You get to begin thinking about, okay, the Lord's working in my behalf. So I praise you for it, God. I thank you for it, God. And you get involved with God. And you begin to see the doors open louder, further and further. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 6. Good gracious. Give me a Kleenex, please. I must have scratched it on this thing over here. Now I saw thee pluth in thy blood, send thee live. Yay. Did you bite me? I must have got so happy I bit myself. Thank you, sir. Give me a laugh. Amen. Devil ain't got nothing on us. We're going to catch him. We're going to catch him for this teaching over. You're going to have him sitting right down and under your foot. You're going to have your foot so far on him, he's going to be screaming and hollering. He's going to say to you, man, you are too powerful for me to mess with. Because you caught me, I'm going to have to pay you back sevenfold. You're too expensive for me.
Come on. Hallelujah.
That's the way all the devil ought to feel. We're too expensive for him.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for those three. I'm going to get so expensive, the devil's going to leave me alone for a while. I said for a while. He comes back. But I get him again. See, God doesn't only want you to come out of bondage. He wants to pay you back for your time of bondage. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptian. And I will red you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. Listen what the Amplified Bible says. Accordingly, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will free you from their bondage, and I will rescue with an outstretched arm, with special and vigorous action, and by mighty acts of judgment.
Yes.
Good Lord. You got to begin to see that the Lord's vigorously working to rescue and bring you out from under the bondage of the enemy and adversary. And when he brings you out, he's going to restore to you sevenfold. You know, if you really get a revelation of that, you can look on your mess ups and have a little joy about it. How he robs you of your first marriage, and you might find you a good looking woman, man, you get sevenfold back on it. Puncher. I'm good, thank you, sir. My. I remember, 30 years ago, standing in the pulpit. Let's see if it still works. At Bible school. I had shaved that morning. I used to have a mole right there, a beauty mark. Shaved it off. Should have left it on. Anyway, that morning I shaved and cut it off. Anybody know moles? Moles, man, they bleed. And I was, you know, my first preaching engagement in Bible school in the church. So they turned it over to me. I just got it stopped. Just miraculously got it stopped. And I was preaching away, and that thing began to bleed, and blood ran down my cheek, started running down to my suit. And this elderly woman was in the service. Big lady. Blessed lady. And she just hollered out, stopped me in my tracks. She said, son, you got faith? I said, of course. I mean, I was going to Rhema. I had to. Couldn't say, no, I don't have any. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, you wanted to quit bleeding? Yes, ma'am. She said, turn to Ezekiel 16:6. I don't have a Bible, but I know what it says. So I turned to Ezekiel 16:6. She said, read it out loud for me. It says, when I saw thee polluted in thy blood, I said unto thee, live. Yea, I said unto thee, live. She said, now go back to preaching and stop. And immediately when I began to preach, it instantly stopped. And that woman, if you ever read any of Brother Hagin's books, it's Miss Goodwin. Goodwin, then in his books, they went out, done a lot of healing evangelist work. She was in the service. Her husband had died. Matter of fact, she took me home that day, spoke to me and prayed with me and spoke over me. And we've used that scripture with, well, Penny, with brain aneurysm. That's what we founded. Everything we talked about her was reading that scripture over her and over her. We had a man at our church drop on the floor with a brain aneurysm. We didn't know at the time. They came and got him in the ambulance. And took him off hospital and gave him up to die that night. I had to go in the room and witness, what do you call it? Will. And we sent his son into the room in Atlanta. with his daddy hooked up to all kind of machines, told him to read Ezekiel 16:6 all night, and the next morning the man was sitting up on the bed totally well. Y'all need to write it down. Any blood situation. It's stopping, ain't it?
Amen.
Ezekiel 16:6. When I saw thee, blue did not blood, send thee live. Yea, I said unto thee, live.
Yes, sir.
But how many of you need the Lord to get vigorously? What did I say? Vigorously, with special and vigorous action and mighty hands of judgment. Remember, when the hand of the Lord is mentioned, it's mentioned to bless His servants and to bring judgment upon the adversary. And you're going to see, I'll tell you right now, I believe this, right now, the 23rd of June 2010, you will begin to see, I prophesy, more and more the hand of the Lord get involved in the earth.
Amen.
I know the Lord's tired of all this stuff.
Yeah.
You're already seeing it.
Yes.
I mean, foolishness is just running rampage.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. People are making a fool of themselves.
Yeah.
Our government's making a fool of themselves.
Yeah.
I ain't naming no names. All of them up there.
Yeah.
They need to clean them all out. All of them.
Yeah.
They need a bowel movement in Washington. All of them. I mean all of them. Newt Gingrich, he ain't in it no more, but all of them. Top to bottom. They're making a fool of themselves. But the hand of the Lord, you mark my words. Hand of the Lord's beginning to put a plumb line in the earth. And he's the tares and the wheat are beginning to divide up. I'm telling you. Stay put. Stay in the house. The glory's falling. The transfer of the wealth's coming just as sure. Round the corner.
Hallelujah.
Some of you will be millionaires. You just don't know it. Some of you will be billionaires. Somebody wrote me an email. So I'd be trying to figure it out. Our church is full of millionaires. You called the priest a millionaire. Money man. For the kingdom of God, you know what to do with it. Many of you know what to do with it. You've proven yourself to give, and you'll give it. Because the hand of the Lord is being stretched. It's what God sent this message for us to understand how it works in our lives. Stand. Amen. To bring blessings upon us. That's why I'm not in that camp. I ain't got nothing to worry about. I have nothing to worry about with the shaking. Nothing. Well, what happens if there ain't no food? There's going to be food at my house.
Amen.
I already know. I've had testimonies through the years. I've been staying a long time. I should have wrote down all the testimonies and wonders that I heard God do and saw God do, how God brought people food when nobody knew they had no food. And walk and open the door. Heard a knock and walk and open the door and there'd be nobody there, no car in sight, but food all over the... God, you waited too late to tell me that God can. He's the best instant food maker there is.
Yeah.
I'm not fearful. You can't have no fear about this day. You don't get focused on the fear. You focus on God. I belong to God. He's not going to embarrass me. He's not a dad beat dad. Dad what?
Dad beat dad.
He's not like an unfaithful husband or wife or somebody. He takes care of his children.
Yes.
And I'm one of his, just like my sister there is. Sister Rosemary. God's taken care of her all her life.
Thank you, Lord.
Faithful to her.
Yeah.
She drives all the way here from where does she live?
Tyrone.
I've been over the house. Fairburn, whatever it is. Go to her little house she's got, double wide trailer. God's blessed her. She was in the oil business, worked for the oil companies. Many years. And see, when I see that, how God taking care of somebody, He's no respect of person. He'll take care of you.
Yes.
If you understand His stretched out arm. I ain't got no fear, brother. Well, if all y'all left today, I can live in this place. I don't owe nothing on it. Be a big living room here. I imagine Brother Jeff and them come live with us. I ain't scared. I ain't afraid of money situations. I'm not into that. God's going to take care of me. With an outstretched arm and hand. I'm a child of God. I fear no evil. He's with me. His word and His spirit, they comfort me. He prepareth the table before me in the presence of my enemy. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life as I dwell in the house of the Lord. And the devil's got to pay me back sevenfold. Amen. And He is you. Hey, now, I'm going to tell you something. I got to go. We got to get ready for that meeting in August. You need to begin to pray. You need to bring people on that week that needs a breakthrough. Get them here. Get them in the presence of God. And I want to show you what God's going to do. It's not for us just to... It's to bring in people that don't know this is a supernatural season of breakthrough. Get them chilling in here. Get them grown-ups up in here. We're going to see the Holy Ghost move. Shake them all up. Amen. Glory to God. Let's lift our hands and thank Him tonight for His outstretched arm. Thank You, Lord, for Your outstretched hand upon Your people. The Lord that gives out judgment to the adversary has to pay restoration, and also gives us, Lord, favor among the people. I bless You, Lord, tonight. Thank You for Abundant Life Faith Church. Thank You for our precious workers, the people that do the sound system, then do the media and do the work around here to keep this thing going. Oh, Father God, thank You for our precious, precious people and make sure this thing goes on. Thank You, Lord, for our praise team and all our musicians and our ushers. We're so precious of a church. Lord, keep us. We thank You, Lord. We know You keep us safe. We thank You for Your safety. We thank You, Lord, we're a beacon in this community, and not only the community, but around the world. And we preach the faith in this generation to hold on. Don't be weary in well doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. I bless the people of God this week.